This morning, our gospel message is coming from the fourth chapter of Matthew. In the gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of God is referred to often, but it's called the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same exact thing. The reason that in Matthew's community they used the term heaven was that it was a community of very devout Jews. And to say the name of God out loud was considered risky and dangerous. And so they didn't tend to say the name of God out loud and so called it the kingdom of heaven. But they are both the same thing. So listen for the word of God today. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and followed their father and left their father and followed Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning we're going to reflect on the kingdom of connection. Did you ever watch the TV show Survivor? How many of you watched any of Survivor before? Okay. The values of community in that show are minimal. Every person is out for themselves. They form alliances one week and snuff out their ally the next. They try to gain immunity, which means they can't be touched by anyone. You hear what I'm saying. Somehow, watching this lack of true connection the players have with one another has some form of entertainment value. They call these kinds of shows reality TV. Is this the way relationships really are? Well, in contrast, in our Methodist tradition, our entire church structure is based on connection. Each local church is connected to the next within the annual conference. None of the local churches own property. It is held in trust. And ownership goes to the whole church, just like in the days of the early church. Apportionments are the allotments that each church is responsible for in contributing toward the functioning of the whole body. Now, we are connected to each member of the church, and each member of the church contributes to the witness of Jesus Christ in the world. Oftentimes that happens way beyond the church, but we cannot survive without one another. The kingdom of God is one of connection. Not only that we are connected to one another in the here and the now, We are connected to those who have already claimed their place in the eternal kingdom. And our witness is the connection that extends to those who come after us, those five people you have named to pray for. So the kingdom is both a here and a now reality and a future hope. Well, the good news is that everyone has immunity in the kingdom of God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are all given the freedom of new life. We are all awarded the best prize that we could possibly be awarded. The kingdom of God is where the fullness of life will be available for all, where justice and righteousness prevail. So the scriptures this morning begin with John the Baptist being arrested. Now, John spent his entire life pointing toward the one that he was not worthy to tie the sandals of. He was the greatest prophet of all time. And his message was not at all popular with Rome, who occupied the area where he preached. Caesar wanted total allegiance. You see, Caesar in those days was considered a god, and he would not accept anyone that would not bow down to him. So John took a stand bowing only to Jesus. His arrest foreshadowed the way the authorities would later respond to Jesus. Now, the kingdom of God, the place where Jesus reigns today, continues to be a challenge for the world. Jesus had spent his growing up time in Galilee, kind of a safe area in Nazareth. He begins his ministry by leaving that safety and moving out into territory that was predominantly Gentile, occupied by the Romans. Although this territory, this land, was exactly the land that God had promised to the tribes of Israel, that God had promised to Zebulun and Naphtali. The same land that Isaiah had prophesied to be the place where for those who sat in great darkness would see a great light. So the occupation of Rome in that area made it dark. Taxes were levied that laid a heavy burden on the citizens of that area, making it impossible to live, making it impossible for any kind of freedom. Well, Jesus is the light that moves into this land of darkness, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that is connected to the tradition of these ancient prophets, the faithful tribes of Israel. The kingdom of God is a fulfillment of what God has created since the beginning. So Jesus began traveling in his ministry, and I want you to kind of think of his travels as kind of, you see the little children have the coloring books with the dots that go dot to dot. Well, that's what I want you to think about it. Jesus just went from place to place to place. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God has come near wherever he went. And so as he moved, the kingdom of God was moving and always connecting from place to place and from people to people to accomplish God's purposes. Jesus takes this walk by the sea, and this is where things really begin to get interesting. He calls for Simon and Andrew to follow him, and they do. It says, immediately they set down their nets. Now, we marvel at this We think this is extraordinary. How quickly they could let go of their old life and begin a new one. But there are just a few things that we might want to consider. In ancient times, if a student wanted to learn from a teacher, if there was a sophist, a philosopher, a rabbi, someone that they wanted to learn from, the student would approach the teacher, and they would be interviewed and tested before the teacher. And it was the teacher's right to say whether or not they would take this person on as a disciple. Well, Jesus did just the opposite. He called the disciples to follow him. These disciples were being given the chance of a lifetime. It was kind of like getting a free scholarship without even having to write the admission essay. Answering the call to follow Jesus immediately is a good model for our own response. Why wouldn't we want to follow Jesus? We are all given a chance for new possibility in our lives when we follow Jesus. Now, I grew up on a lake, Lake Winnipesaukee, and you get a prize if you can spell it. I love to fish, and there is nothing more appealing than baiting that hook and setting out in a calm cove in the quiet of an early morning. Fishermen, in order to catch fish, know where and when the fish will be running. They know how the environment or the weather will affect their catch. And they seem to know when to wait and when to cast that line or net in order to catch the fish. Aren't these, in fact, the very qualities needed to share the gospel? One must be prepared to set out patiently for the right opportunity in a place that will likely provide an opportunity to know the circumstances and the conditions of the lives of those for whom you want to share the gospel with, to know when to drop the line or not. Jesus called men who already had the skills needed to share the good news of God. Next thing Jesus did was to call two more fishermen, and they left their father Zebedee and followed Jesus. Mind you, these fishermen still did not know the full extent of the gospel, and they still followed Jesus. The new community that Jesus was connecting would be formed outside the bounds of family, outside the economics of the empire. The new community would be connected in a new arrangement with relationships that were wholly centered on Jesus Christ. I'd like to show you a short film clip. Marina and Watson, if you want to move down so that you can see it. This is from Robinson Crusoe, the newer version. Robinson Crusoe landed in a territory that was occupied by a different culture. They worship different gods. Listen and see if you think any connection was made for the native in this film to understand. So we have a god named Pakia, the god that this native was explaining separated the earth from the water, this god that put the moon and the stars in the sky. Doesn't sound that far off from the god that we know and understand. I think this illuminates for us that maybe the world is not so different than it was in Jesus' time or in the time of Robinson Crusoe. we are still wondering, how is it that we can make connection with those who do not know the gospel? Well, here's the thing about the kingdom of God. It will always be a place of connection. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church to be the vehicle to carry the gospel out into the world. And the risen Christ is made visible through the whole church. We are connected to those who went before us, to those who are here now, and to those who will come after us as well. We might want to begin mending our fishing nets so that we can be better fishers of men and women, those who witness to Christ, so that others can be caught up in the life of grace. Let's think of the church as this net, as the place where new disciples are caught up into the kingdom of God. Now, these three strands that you received this morning are the strands that you are later going to use during our closing hymn. You can come up and add them to this fishing net to begin mending the net. We are going to first mend the nets by offering thanksgiving for those who shared God's love with us in such a way that it made sense. So you have one strand that you've already picked out that is the strand that represents those people that you're praying for, that you want to share with. Pick another strand will represent those for whom have shared the gospel with you in such a way that you began to understand Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then the other strand is a strand, it's a prayer actually for ourselves. A prayer that will represent our desire and our request to God that God might continue transforming us so that we will grow in ways that will strengthen our ability to share the gospel. Okay? I'm going to share with you a very special and yet a seemingly ordinary kingdom experience in my life. 16 years ago, I attended a Bible study with a young woman named Rhonda. Rhonda was really young. When I met her, I was finishing having my children, and she was just beginning to start her family. And this strand here is for Rhonda. Rhonda is a fisher of men and women, and boy, she knows how to fish. Her faith is authentic. She loves Jesus Christ. And that alone seems to be all the bait that she needs. During the study that I attended with her, she prepared the class lessons well. She got to know each student in the class, and she was interested in learning about their circumstances. But during one class in particular, Rhonda shared her understanding of how great God's love was for each of us. And tears just shone in her eyes. And I remember thinking, I want to know what she knows. I want to understand what she knows about Jesus Christ. Well, Rhonda moved out of the state. And she began serving in a camp ministry, actually. Truly, she was sent by God to go fish in a different cove, to witness in a very different community. You see, the body of Christ is active and alive and empowered with gifts that are constantly being renewed and moving. And just as Jesus moved from town to town, our witness too is called from place to place. And there's great mystery in this kingdom of connections that we make. Well, I want you to fast forward 14 years. The Sunday after my ordination interviews, and it was the end of January in 2009, I had not seen Rhonda for many years. We were both in active ministry. And on that Sunday morning, after I had learned that I had been approved for ordination, the Holy Spirit brought Rhonda into worship in the church I was serving. She was as surprised to see me as I was to see her. She had no clue I was there. That morning, I was able to share with the congregation that she was connected deeply to my faith journey. Never mind that the Board of Ordained Ministry had approved me. I can't tell you how overjoyed my heart was that Sunday to understand that God had placed Rhonda there to again affirm God's deep love in the connectedness of our relationships. It was a kingdom moment, and Rhonda's witness was connected to mine. Now you're blessed to receive some of what she gave me through her witness. You see, there's something about fishing that is so appealing because you never know how or when the unexpected blessings may come upon you. I know there are a lot of issues, like we saw in the film clip, about how it is we go about sharing our faith, and that is something that we're going to continue discussing as we go through this Kingdom of God series. How do we get to places where it's appropriate to share our faith story? How do we begin to share our faith story? But there is no telling how God will use our witness. And I think we can stop worrying about a lot of those issues that we think we need to kind of do it right, because I think our best witness happens when we don't even know we're doing it. I don't think Rhonda understood how clear of a picture she was giving us about God's love when she shared. Those tears were real and genuine, authentic tears. She wasn't trying to give us anything, but I think sometimes God will use us most when we're just being who God calls us to be. Those times that maybe we do something that resonates with someone else without even trying. In my first appointment, and this is my last little story here, but we had a gentleman who told everyone that God loved him. I mean, he would come into to church. It was just his way. He would walk into the youth room and tell the youth. He would tell the ladies in the kitchen. He told the men in the parking lot. Everyone he walked by would hear him say, "Remember, God loves you." Now, not everyone can get away with that kind of witness, but for him, it was truly authentic. Well, one day, his daughter had this minor fender bender, and he took the car into the shop to be fixed, of course, reminding his mechanic that God loved him too, right? So over the course of a couple of weeks while this car is in the shop, Doug gets to know this mechanic. And he learned that the mechanic had previously been a roofer and, in fact, had done the metal roofing on top of the Jefferson Library. Now, Doug was a trustee, and he knew that the church needed a new, you got it, metal roof. And so the short end of the story is that this roofer, now mechanic, was trying to get rid of some metal roofing in a storage container that he had in Fredericksburg for 10 years. And yes, within the month, the church had a new roof. A kingdom kingdom of connection. Now, sharing our faith isn't popular in a politically correct and litigious environment, but that's why we need to be authentic witnesses, not afraid to let others know how deeply God loves them. It may or may not add membership to the church, but through our faithful witness, God will grow the kingdom. See, the fullness of life is available for you now, for you. So come and be those who fish for men and women. And remember, the kingdom of connection is all about love. So we're going to stand and we're going to restate our beliefs and affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. And during our closing hymn, I'm going to invite you to come and lift up your prayers for those who have shared their faith with you. Tie your threads on and repair and this net, so this net can be a place of visible prayer for how God is connecting us as the kingdom. Okay?